This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in this. And now, let's hear the Word of God.
Yeah, because otherwise I can't be cute and cut through here. Thank God I'm small, but I can't cut through here and flow right. So if y'all would take it right to the edge, that'll work for me. And then, you know, I have a little walking room. You got to make sure it's right so you don't get distracted by all that kind of stuff. All right, Luke 15, you got it? Luke 15, verse 12. And we'll start reading there. You are probably very familiar with this story. And again, those of you who are watching by Impact, you can join us at newlight.org or spiritualencounter.net. Make sure you tweet somebody, Facebook somebody. Tell them they should be watching this youth conference. Tell them to get their kids in the room and watch the youth conference like no other. First time ever. I want Pastor Pete to be just amazed by the numbers going through the roof. Luke 15, verse 11 says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me.' And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with rowdiest living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swines. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off," say a great way off. Oh, I got to make sure y'all reading with me. Say, "a great ways off." "And when he was a great ways off, his father came, saw his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said unto him, 'Father,' he said, and the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son is dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found,' and they begin to be merry." What a powerful story. And I know all y'all thinking, we about to go talk about the hog pen, right? How he ended up in the hog pen. And he was going to eat the nasty slop of the hog. You ready for me to go there? You said that in your mind. She finna talk about the hog pen. That should be the title of her lesson, The Hog Pen Experience. But hold on. Work with me for a minute. Y'all going to go with me? Because what we see in this story of the sons and this one son is we see that his life was filled with different moments. His life was filled with different opportunities, and his life was filled with, really, he had some great times. The Bible talks about, obviously, his father had some money because it said he asked his father for the portion of his goods, and you don't ask your poor parents for nothing. Okay, y'all want to play me? When you know your mom ain't got no money, the last thing you're going to do is walk in the store and say, "Can you buy me something?" Because what is she going to tell you? "Boy, don't ask me for nothing. You know I ain't got no money." Not you faith parents, because I know your faith, you know, your parents of faith wouldn't tell you that. But you sure don't ask your mama that you know she ain't got no money for no new Jordans, because she going to look at you like you crazy. So we know that his parents had money. So we know that he had some great times. We know that really his life started off really good, but then it seemed to taper off, and there he's faced with some bad times. There are times we find ourselves where we're in an emergency situation, and we always like to jump to the hog pen and talk about how the hog pen, he was in this desperate situation. But if we're not careful, we'll miss the opportunities to be rescued from the desperate situations even before the desperate situations occur. Because We all think I'm not in an emergency until I'm in the hog pen. I still have time. Because I got away with it this one time, I still have time. But we don't realize that even before it gets really, really bad, we've already been in an emergency situation and we need a little rescue. You know, I got to break down the story, right? I got to ghettofy it. You know, Dr. Arisha do it. Here's a boy. His dad's got money. He says to dad, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Hook me up. Give me my money." He gets his money. And for a long time, I used to tell the story like he just left right away. But the Bible says that he stayed, chilled out for a couple of days, got his stuff together. Then he said, "I got to bounce. It's time for me to go. I'm going to get out of here." He gets out of here. He goes. And then he's doing what he's doing. He's making it rain. He popping bottles. Got the honeys on the left, honeys on the right. It's all good. He is the big baller, shot caller. He making it do what it do. When he walk into the club, everybody stop. It's all about him. He don't ever take his shades off because he got money. And y'all know what, you know, so he's doing it. And then the money runs out. And the honey on the left, the honey on the right, they get ghosts. Because they ain't really want him to begin with. They just really wanted the paper. So now the girls are gone. The friends are gone. The money's gone, and he has to go get a job. Now, if his dad was rich, and he asked his dad for money, obviously he had never worked a day in his life, but now he's got to get a J-O-B. And it would have been all right if his job was like, you know, telling people what to do, but he was feeding the hogs. Something that he wasn't supposed to eat, something that he wasn't supposed to touch, something that he wasn't even supposed to be near. There's a famine in the land, and now he has to get a job, and his job is to feed something that he is not supposed to even be around. And there in the hog pen, he has a moment and says, "Wait a minute. There are some people that live much better than this. I'm going to rise. I'm going to go to my father." He goes home, and his father welcomes him home. And we've taught, and I've taught, about how great that moment was for him in the hog pen. But do you know, old dude had an opportunity to fix it before he even got in the hog pen? That he had an opportunity, and he really had rescue opportunities all before the hog pen ever occurred. So for the sake of the discussion, let's not stay at the hog pen. Can we go back to the Father's house for a couple moments? Because I submit to you that the real emergency occurred in the dude's life. We need to give him a name, don't we? So, let's see, what can we call him? Let's call him Junior. Junior, you know. Because, you know, I don't know no other hood names. But for the sake of our discussion, Junior decided to leave his daddy's house. And we all stop and talk about how this emergency occurred in the hog pen. But really, I submit to you, the first emergency occurred back at the daddy's house when Junior was sitting in his room. It didn't occur the first time he went out with his friends to the club. It didn't occur when the honeys left him because he didn't have no money. It didn't occur when, you know, the famine came up in the land. The first emergency that occurred in his life was probably right there in his room in his chill spot with his PlayStation, with his TV, just chilling. This is my time, I think. He may have been in the studio making beats, you know, on the little bond, the little, you know, whatever he had. He didn't have no MP3. He didn't have all that. He just had some grass, you know, but he was making it do what it do. But it was in that spot that the first emergency occurred. Because the emergency that turned his life around was not in the hog pen. It wasn't even the day that he approached his dad and said, "Dad, hook me up. Give me my money. Listen, you know, I can't wait for you to die. So just do it now." That wasn't the emergency. The emergency occurred in his life when his life took a turn was the day that the thought came to his head, "I could do better by myself." The day the emergency really occurred for him was the day he started playing and entertaining the thought that really, I don't need my dad anymore. If he just give me his money, I could make life so much better. I really have friends who respect me more. I really have people who love me more. That was the day that the first emergency really occurred in his life. It was the day that he decided he was going to entertain the thought that he could do better outside the Father's house. And many times, why don't we go to your room? You know, your favorite spot in the house. You know, when your mama asks you to do the dishes, and after you've done the dishes, but you pouted while doing them, and then it's in that spot where you start having these thoughts, I can't wait till I go to college. I can't wait till I get out of this house. I can't wait till I have my own. Not realizing when you get your own, you have bills and responsibilities, and it's no more, I can throw it on somebody else. But you know, when I get grown, I ain't gonna make my kids ever clean up. But there he is, and his emergency is not afar off. His emergency is right there in his head, because it was in his head he decided he could not wait on the inheritance that was promised to him. He had to get it now. He was too impatient to wait and see what God would do and how much more the inheritance would build. He had to have it now. I'm trying to figure out how he was so bold to go to his dad and say, Dad, I'm tired. I can't wait for you to die. I mean, how you get that bold? Like, dude, I want you to die now. So just give me my money. See, okay, let me break it down. Y'all know the queen, right? Queen Elizabeth, right? Please tell me you know a little history. Work with me. Okay, so the queen is 86 years old, right? So she just had her diamond jubilee celebration for reigning on the throne for 60 years. They say in 2022, she'll have a platinum jubilee celebration. So she had all the festivities, just looking all chippery, smiling, got a little red lipstick on, changing outfits a bunch of times. And then her son is getting old. He can't get the throne till she move along. But you better believe he don't have it in him to say, even in his grown age with kids and a wife, Mama, you need to go on, disappear, so I can take the throne. But here the prodigal son has been in some part of the house entertaining the thought that I can do this by myself and I can't wait for you to die. He just wants the money. And that's where the real emergency occurs, because he starts playing with the thoughts. And thoughts come from those intrusive moments, you know, when you're not really, you know, that kind of intrusive moment, it just show up like out of the clear blue. But instead of you casting it down, you just start playing with it. You know, like that intrusive moment when you see that candle burning and some sit on your shoulder until you stick your finger in it. Okay, y'all never had that moment before? You've never seen fire and then just wanted, like, would I really get burnt if I stick, can I stick my finger? Or like you walk by something and you're like, I should just knock that over. Oh, y'all want to play me. Y'all don't have little Henry moments where you in the store and you like, I should just hit that real quick. It's intrusive thoughts. Then there are those, you know, and thoughts come from intrusive moments where you're bombarded by uninvited thoughts. There are thoughts that come from individuals. Your friends are your biggest cheerleaders. And you know, your parents make you mad. First thing we do, we get on Twitter. And you start, you put that, you know, that tweet out there that's like, I'm mad, but I know everybody ain't gonna get this tweet, so I'ma just, you know, put it in code, SMH. So one of your good friends then DMs you and says, what's that? Why are you shaking your head? What's up? She gets on my nerves. What she do? She want me to clean up the kitchen after her, and I ain't even eat. And I'm tired of them other little children. And then my summer all ruined because I got to sit at home and watch my brothers and sisters. I can't have no fun. I just don't want to do it. Girl, I know what you're talking about, because my mama doing the same thing. I didn't tell her to have all them kids. I didn't tell her to have nobody after me. So now you and your girl, or you and your homeboy, are on the phone, and now you all are exchanging in your frustration, or exchanging in something that didn't go your way, and now thoughts are coming to your mind that I could just leave. I can't wait till I go to college. I'm going to do my own thing. They really don't understand what I'm going through. They say it to themselves. It's a different generation. So now you've got the thought from your friends. You've got the thought from intrusive thoughts. And then let's not talk about the outside influences of music. Because if I say some songs, there's no way you can listen to some of them songs and not think about sex. I'm sorry. Some of them songs, they're not even made for married couples. I mean, let's just be real about it. And I'm not going to call no names because we on TV, we streaming. But I'm going to use initials. T.S., you ain't got no business listening to him right now. Because he going to take you somewhere you shouldn't be. And you trying to live holy for God. And he telling you to, I ain't going to go there. We're going to keep it moving. So now, when you want to live holy and for God, you got your boo, and you saying, how can I make you say my name? Okay, keep it moving, Pastor. But y'all going to live holy until you get married and go through college. You cannot let those influences come in and think you still can help. It brings a thought to your mind. What you see on TV is that you know, everything is reality TV, not realizing reality TV is reality scripted. And ain't no way you can do that and become all of that and still live a life of pleasure and enjoyment that God is glorified in. That's a lot of the stuff is scripted and acted out, and that it's not profitable to your life. But the Bible says, and when we look through the scripture, it tells us how we're supposed to properly handle the thoughts that come to our mind. Because it's in the time when the thought comes that the first emergency occurs, and that's the time where you need to do the hand wave and say, I need to be rescued. Because once you entertain a thought, the thought then influences your behavior. Let's break it down. Where are my athletes in the building? Track stars, football players. Where my basketball ballers at? All right. And I know y'all got skills. Y'all got skills. You on the court, right? And you see the goal, you see the end zone, you see the person that you need to tackle. Before you make the move, you have already made the move in your mind. And what you then do is once you think about the move and the whistle blows or they do the, you know, they let you know that it's time for the game, you are now following through on the thoughts that you had in your mind. That once they blow the whistle, once the ball is hiked, I'm going to do what I just played out in my head. I'm going to drive to the hole. I'm going to go to the left and then I'm going to come back and shoot a layup. So if I understand it in sports, because that's why you watch your plays from the last time. That's why you go over it and you study the game and you prepare yourself and you think through the process, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when I think about something and I meditated on it day and night and I keep thinking about it, that thought then influences my behavior so that I act out the thought. Well, if it works on the basketball court and it works on the football field, you have to guard the thoughts that come in your mind. Because if you keep thinking that life is unfair and you keep thinking it's okay and I can't stand the people around you, then that thought give you entertainment and you give life to it. And the Bible says how important it is that we protect our thought life and we cry out for rescue when the thoughts start coming. Because it says at the moment the thought comes in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, for casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when the thought comes and the thought is outside of God's will, I've got to have enough sense in me to start waving my hands and say, I need to be rescued. I can't keep playing around with the thought. I can't go to the individuals that are not going to feed me the word of God and say, oh yeah, you ought to do your own thing. Oh yeah, they don't really understand. They don't know what's going on. They don't know your thoughts. They don't know what you're feeling in your body. No, that's the time where the first emergency has occurred and I need a little rescuing. Turn and ask your neighbor, say, what are you thinking? Because when we survey the room, some of you may be in a hog pen, but some of you may not even have reached the true hog pen experience, but you're so close to it because in your mind, you've already left the house. In your mind, you've already started having sex. In your mind, you've already started cutting up and saying it's okay, and compromise is okay, and death is okay, and it's okay if I take my life. Nobody will miss me. And so you've entertained this thought over and over again. But I came to tell you that you came to the right place this week. This is your week of rescue. We live in a world where instead of the spiritual truths of God's plan governing our lives, we live in a world where other factors control our lives. We allow common experiences to control our lives. That's why we like to hang around people that look like us and think like us. We allow the society to influence our lives. And so I got to have the latest designer because that's what they wear on TV. I got to go to this place because that's what they said is hot on TV. I got to wear this. I got to turn my, hat to the side like this. I got to have the latest thing because that's what society says. I'm popular and I'm cool if I look like that. We live our lives influenced by the human wisdom. Sometimes we'll let others speak into our lives, but you got to make sure you're letting the right wisdom give a voice in your life. And then we live our lives controlled by seduction of satanic counsel. But you have to decide, I'm not going to let my thinking put me in a disaster zone. Because if you let the enemy come in, and if you let society come in and control your thoughts, you now step outside of the safety zone of God's word for your life and you step into the danger zone. And so our thinking gets flawed because my friend had sex one time and nothing happened to her, so it should be okay. My thinking is now flawed because I used to think holiness was okay, but I saw somebody else do it and they didn't get caught, so it's all right now. My thinking gets flawed because, I touched her and nothing happened. Our thinking gets flawed because I stole something once and nobody caught me. Our thinking gets flawed because I lied and I lied and I lied and my mama still don't know I'm not telling her the truth. Okay, I know y'all wasn't going like that. I think it gets flawed because I saw something on TV and I saw somebody get famous for doing something stupid. So I figured I could just do something stupid and get rich off of it. But our thinking has to be guided by the spiritual counsel of the word of God and not by the satanic counsel. We all like to knock Eve because we want to say Eve is stupid, but we be having some stupid moments ourselves. Because the same trick that the enemy played on Eve in the garden, it was that she was under attack and she was in an emergency situation when she started having the conversation. When he said, why would he tell you that you can't eat of any fruit in the garden? And she tried to get sassy with him and say, he didn't tell us we couldn't eat it. He said that if we ate it or touch it, we'd surely die. When she started having the thought process conversation with the serpent was the moment that she was in the disaster zone, and she thought she should have ran to Adam and said, get me out of here because that snake is talking. And he plays the same game to this day. He plays the game by challenging the right of God to give rule over our lives. He plays the same game by magnifying the imperfection of others. He magnifies the imperfection of visible authority because you heard your mama cuss you one time, then how can she tell you what's right? And that's just the game the enemy is playing to get you to minimize the authority that's set in your life. He magnifies, he redefines those who love you as your enemy. He uses your emotional triggers to provoke action. So now you feel guilty because you made a mistake one time, but not realizing that who the Son sets free is free indeed. That I don't have to hold my head down by embarrassment, but Jesus paid the ultimate price for your life and you are not condemned by your past mistakes. You still got an opportunity to start waving your hands like you're in the middle of the sea saying, God, I need to be rescued. Satan looks for your unsurrendered areas in your life to exploit your temptation. He knows what you like. Okay, I got to work with that for a little bit. See, if you like light skin, Beyonce, he gonna bring you Adele. If you like Beyonce, long hair, big booty, and you know, still trim in the right spots, he is not going to bring you Adele, and he's sure not going to bring you Precious. He tempts you what he knows you like. Satan minimizes the impact of sin consequences. He isolates you from righteous influences. And then what he does in his game is he sets you up to push you over the edge into perverted action. Can we go back to the prodigal son in our final moments? Because there he is. He's walking on his dad's property, chilling in his room. The thought comes, go ask your dad for your portion. You need your money now. You can't wait till he die. You can get your inheritance now. Do what you want to do. You need to do things your way. You could probably manage your money much better than him. And instead of him casting down that thought, he kept playing it. And every time his father probably did something that he didn't like, because he had been playing with thoughts that were negative towards his father, he started scrutinizing every action of the father till he got the boldness to rebel against the authority, which was the rebellion trap that the enemy wanted him to be in all along. Because at that point, when he went to his dad and said, "Dad, give me my money," he actually was rebelling against the established authority. See, we think rebelling is always about you being disrespectful, but rebelling is when you gratify your flesh at the expense of somebody else and you don't care what the consequences are. So really, he had rebelled in his mind, because if he had enough boldness to go to ask his dad for the goods that didn't belong to him at that time, he had already decided, "I'm going to do what pleases me regardless of how you feel about it." And that's what the enemy does, is he sets traps. And he took the thought, the devil, and the devil began to set the traps up. And so the traps had baited him in. There was a trap. Then, "I've got the money. This is not good enough. I've got to go to the next level." And that's how the enemy plays you. You think, "I can do it just one time," but he wants to keep you in a cycle. So when you do it one time, he wants to get you to do it another time and another time. And that's not good enough. And so he got the money. But once he got the money, he says, "I got to get out of here, because you don't have enough. You're not giving me enough freedom." So he took flight to say, "I don't need y'all anymore. I can do my own thing. I'm going to be independent." Once he took flight, then, you know, of course, his friends showed up. And Satan will always send some just knuckleheads to encourage you in your foolishness. But as soon as you don't have no weed no more, as soon as you don't have no booze that you can hook them up with no more, as soon as you're not the life of the party and you're not going to go with them, they don't want to be around. Then the fun was a part of the trap. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable only for a season. So yeah, it was a temporary fun, but it was short-term benefit. And then when the fun ran out, the famine showed up. The famine was a trap that the enemy had set up, because there now he had wasted all his resources. So he's got the trap of flight. He's got the trap of his friends. He's got the trap of fun. He's got the trap of the famine. And then he finds himself in the hog pen with the trap of failure. That now he was separated from everybody. He had lost acceptance of his friends. He had lost acceptance of his community, because he had joined himself to a foreign country. And here he is in the hog pen, willing to eat the hog slop. But can I submit to you that before he got to the place of wanting to eat the hog slop, that at every point that God gave him an opportunity and nudged him that, "Hey, son, you can be rescued out of this moment." How can I say that? The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. So when he took flight and he had that first feeling, God reminded him, "My mercies are new every morning. You don't have to stay out here." When the friends walked off and left him because he wasn't the life of the party anymore, God reminded him, "Son, you can return home, because his mercies are new every morning." When the fun ran out and he didn't have any more money left, it was still God being there reminding him, saying, "Hey, you don't have to keep going down this road. You can get out this trap, because my mercies are new every morning." Thank God he finally repented in the hog pen and he had the enlightenment experience of the hog pen. But he could have avoided the hog pen altogether if he had just said at the moment when the money ran out, "I think I need to go back home. I may have missed this. I may have missed the mark." As I close, there's a story of a man. There was a man who was living in an area where He lived by a river, and they had sent notice that the river was rising, and the river had a potential to flood the area. But the man said, I'm going to stay put. So he stays put, and the water starts rising. And as the water begins to rise, everybody's gone. You know, he sees the water rising. He heard the warning about the flood, but he didn't pay attention. But he cries out to God, God, please rescue me out of this situation. So then the neighbors come through. And they pass by and they say, hey, Joe, we getting out of here because this river is building up. We're going to go somewhere else till it's settled down. You want to go with us? He said, no, y'all go ahead. My God is going to rescue me. Water continues to rise. And so as the water's rising, he was chilling on the first floor. But because the water is now, the river's rising, the flood is, the waters are coming into the houses. And so he goes to the second floor for safety. And he's there on the second floor. And the emergency boat comes through and says, hey, Mr. Joe, sir, don't you think you want to get out of here now? He said, nah, my God is going to rescue me. Water keeps on rising. Keeps on rising. Now he's got to climb up on the roof because the second floor is now, he's seeing water at his feet, and he thought he had got to higher ground. He thought he was okay. So he's on the second floor, but he's seeing water. So he climbs up to the roof, and there he is sitting on the rooftop like, God's going to deliver me. God's going to rescue me. God's going to rescue me. The helicopter swarms in. They drop the safety net, rescue harness. Saying, hey, come on, let's get out of here. This river's rising. He says, no, I'm good. Because my God, he going to rescue me. Story goes on. River keeps rising. Man is on the top of the roof, but because the river keeps rising, the house gets covered in water. And you know the end. The man dies. So when he gets to heaven, he goes up to God and he's like, God, what's up with that? I thought you were God that answered prayers. God, you made a promise you'd always deliver me out of every situation. God, what is the deal? God, why didn't you rescue me? Why didn't you come to my aid? Why didn't you recognize that moment when I needed you and I needed you to help me get out of the situation? God said, I answered your prayer. But from the first moment that you asked me, I answered your prayer and you turned it down. When the neighbor offered you a ride, you turned it down. When the emergency boat came through, you turned it down. When the helicopter came through, it was another moment that I was giving you an opportunity to be rescued, but yet you turned it down. So it wasn't that I didn't answer your prayer. I did my part. You didn't come to yourself quick enough to know that it was me there all the time ready to rescue you. And I say to you that rescue moments in life are there, and God does not wait till you get to the flat bottom, but God makes a commitment that he says he wants to see your life prosper. He wants to see your life come out on top, and there's no chance that you're here at Spiritual Encounter this week because the repentance moment is set up for you to get your life back in line. The son repented. Junior repented in the hog pen because he realized he had been duped. He reflected on better days. He had to repent of his bad choices, but remember, he had to do something. And it's in our lives where we go through situations and God sends the rescue boat and the rescue teams to get us out of our situations. And we say, no, God, not this time. We've been to Spiritual Encounter for a couple of years, and this is like our third or fourth, you know, Spiritual Encounter. And it's like, God, not this time. But I say to you, don't miss the rescue moment and think you can get all the way to the hog pen and still cry out. If I were you, I wouldn't take that chance. We just looked at the man, Mr. Joe, and we realized that wasn't really smart of him, that he turned down the neighbor, he turned down the boat, he turned down the helicopter. Why do you keep turning God down? And And all this week, people are going to come up and pour their heart out to you and share stories with you about how they allow God to do something magnificent in their life. And you could be like the different people in the Bible. You could be like the rich young ruler and say, I've got too much to give up. What you're asking me is too much at this point in my life, not realizing God wants to give you so much more if you'll just take his opportunity to get out of the situation you're in and say, God, I need to be rescued. Or you can be like Naaman and say, that's not the right messenger. They didn't bring my favorite artist. I didn't see Canton come on the screen. I didn't see so-and-so show up. Where are my favorite people? It's not about a person showing up. It's about God speaking a word to your life. And God has arranged this moment and articulated this time. And he's gathered the right rescue team together. And right now you got to decide that I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to get to the hog pen and say, God, help me out. But I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus, that even if I'm in my thoughts thinking about killing myself this weekend, I'm going to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Even if I move from the place of it being in my thoughts and I disrespected my mom before I left home, I'm not going to go back home the same way and keep trying to push it and stay in emergency situations. I'm going to have me a blind Bartimaeus moment and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. I submit to you that there's a team of people gathered to pour into your life. And if maybe your answer tonight, some of your answer tomorrow, but I would not leave Spiritual Encounter Rescue 66 the same way. You got to decide, I'm not going to stay in this emergency situation, but I'm going to get out. And if you will do it, you will watch God do something supernatural in your life. The Bible says that when the prodigal son went home, he went back saying, if my dad would just make me a hired servant, I'm okay with that. But what he found out is that his dad's love was so much more than putting him back at a servant level. He welcomed him back in grand style. He said, as far off as I see you, it's time for your party to start. And I'm going to walk you back into the place that you walked out from because I've been set to cover you. And even in your mistake, because you were willing to walk back to the Father's house and repent, I'm going to walk you back in and it's time to have a party. I say to some of you today, your party day is set up. It's arranged. The celebration has been laid out. But are you ready to walk into your party today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And there are many of you here today and you've been really battling with some thoughts in your mind. And I don't have to know all your thoughts. And for time's sake, I know we can't go through all the thoughts, but I do know the category of the thoughts. And the thoughts that the enemy has been playing on your mind is that you don't need God. You just came here to hook up with a honey. You just came here to get a number and go to the zone and just do your thing. But I believe that you're not going to miss the moment and you really will allow God to do something supernatural in your